Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into another episode of Enough About Me. This is Ben Kitchen, producer for Enough About Me, and I know what you're thinking, ah, crap, another episode without Kirk. Don't worry, Kirk is here, and he sits down with his friend Gary Tengwood. We've been trying to get Gary on the show for a long time. He finally agreed to do it through lying and manipulation on our part, but he is here, and he talks serious amounts of trash about other shows at this station, the shows at the other station. It is a must-listen-to episode. I'm going to stop wasting your time right now, and we'll get straight to the show with Kirk and Gary.
All right, so I roped you in. I told you it was going to be the Breaking Balls podcast, but it's not. You're finally the guest on Enough About Me, the Kirk and Gary podcast.
It.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm
you,
not
you,
doing this.
Why not? You're here.
Because I can't.
You're here. Sit down.
No.
Take a seat.
No, I'm not doing it.
You are in.
I'm not going to do it because the problem is,
Gary, we talk every day on the air. We're on today. We're taping this on a Wednesday. You'll be on tomorrow and on Friday. There's nothing we're going to talk about on the air. You can't talk about here. Why?
No, because when I do the Kirk Menahan Enough About Me podcast, I wanted to be able to just speak freely.
Well, you can be the first two-time guest on. You're on today.
Okay. How long is this going to be? I got to get the kids.
What time?
At like 11.
You have plenty of, you have to pick them up at 11?
Well, yeah.
You got plenty of time.
Okay, no, we don't. I'm going to be late because
of
you.
First of all, it's a lie. Where do you have to pick them up at 11?
I have to get them to a friend's house so we can go to a movie.
What?
They're going to see Suicide Squad.
Oh, that's good. Your kids are going to see Suicide Squad.
That's PG-13 or 11 or whatever. No. She's at
just your son?
Summer camp, my son.
So just one kid?
Yeah.
Where's the baby?
She's at day camp.
So you're fine then. She's at camp already?
Yeah, 8 o'clock in the morning.
How old is she?
She's five.
Oh, five's the first age for kids. It's her first year at camp now.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm doing this. I knew. I saw Ben was in here.
What is your apprehension?
Because on this show, you want everybody to just speak freely and come clean.
Right. You do that anyway, I thought.
Yeah, but I could.
Well, let's lay down some parameters here. Well, before we'll run it again.
I don't even know if there are any parameters.
What is your concern?
That I'm going to say something I regret.
About what?
I don't know.
You're on the air every day. Aren't you concerned about that?
No.
Do you enjoy doing radio here more than at the sports hub or no?
Oh, much so. This is the most fun I've ever had in radio.
Why?
Because of myself.
Because of yourself?
Because I'm myself. Because I don't have to go on.
So when you did the show with Zolak, weren't you yourself?
Because I was going a different route. I wanted to be a play-by-play guy, and what I wanted to do was make the owners happy. I wanted to make Jonathan Kraft happy. I wanted to make Robert Kraft happy. I wanted to make Wick Grousebeck happy. I had done some Celtic games on television for Mike. I had filled in a couple of games for Grandy on the radio. And I was hoping to get the Patriot play-by-play job. And in order to do that, you have to be a company guy and you have to be pro-team. That really bit me in the ass.
I remember talking to you at Comcast for years, and you told me how badly you wanted that job. I remember the first early edition show I was on with you, and you were all excited because you had Jonathan Kraft on.
Oh, yeah.
I remember thinking, you know, I like Jonathan, but I was like, who gives a shit?
Why
is that a big deal?
Well, at the time, I was kissing his ass, and I do like Jonathan. I do.
He doesn't like you anymore.
Well, I don't know if he does or he doesn't. I haven't talked to them. And I respect what his family has accomplished, but I was kissing his ass. I mean, that's what you do.
Were you a shitty talk show host at 98.5?
Oh, it's terrible.
The show was all like you were terrible.
I was terrible.
Because of that?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons.
Would you do things over there? I didn't listen a lot, I'll be honest. Would you talk about shit like you talk about with us?
Oh,
now?
God, no. Never. No, never. As a matter of fact, the reason I got replaced, they told me the reason I got replaced is I wasn't controversial enough. They said that I was too much of a nice guy on the air. I sat down... This is how it went down.
Go ahead.
We were broadcasting at Foxwoods, and I was sick, and I was working at night 3 to 11 at Comcast, and I was doing 10 to 2 at the sports
hub. Well, not really working 3 to 11.
Well, you know what I mean. I was doing a show. Yes, I wasn't working the 4 hours in between.
Correct.
And I said, can I have tomorrow off? Because I feel like crap. And I was told, no, it's the first day of the book, so we need you in. So I went in, I did the show, and then at 2 o'clock...
They fired you?
They fired me.
So they wanted you in to fire you.
So I said, why don't you Why don't you just call me and tell me not to come in?
Were you crushed or no?
Yeah.
Did you like working with Zolak? I like Zolak.
I like Zolak. I didn't like working with him.
Why not?
Because he has a hard time focusing.
I can see how that might be an issue.
He has a hard time focusing.
He has a hard time focusing on, during a six-minute phone conversation.
Yeah, he does.
But I like him. He's funny.
He's a very nice guy.
He seems like a great guy.
He's a great guy, but he's very hard to, and if you brought food in the studio, forget about it. You've lost him.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he can't focus. He's like off eating, and you're doing the show by yourself.
So you didn't like doing the show?
I was doing the show because I thought it would get me somewhere as opposed to doing this show, which I really like doing. You know, for example, when you and I do a show together.
Like today, we're taping this on Wednesday. We did the sales guy who never, salespeople never talk to you.
Never talk
Somebody
to
pulled
me.
You aside in the hallway and said they got a bunch of texts from just random people saying it was a good show.
It was a good show.
You know when you do a good show, today was a good show.
Today was a good show.
Very good show.
It was a good show. And it flies. You and I both look at the clock. It's 9:30.
You told me it was 8:30. I was surprised.
Right. And I don't need a lot of coffee. If it's a bad show, when I've worked with people in the past, it's slow. It just drags. You're just waiting to get to the end of the show. A lot of the times when I did 10 to 2 at 1 o'clock, I'd be like done. And I don't feel that way now. I really don't.
I think Zolak doesn't think you did a great job either, though.
Yeah, he probably doesn't. That's fine.
Have you ever talked to him about it?
Not really.
No?
No, I mean, he just said, you know, when I got whacked, he was actually in shock. A lot of people were in shock. But he was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it.
Did the ratings suck? I don't know.
What happened was, it wasn't so much the ratings.
Sorry, but let me just check, because we got an hour and a half here. So when the
great.
So when the, you were part of the original lineup, right?
Yeah.
Toucher and Rich,
me and Zoe.
Felger and Maz.
D.A.
The kid who went to New
York.
The teeth. So you were part of the original group.
Right.
How long did you last? A year and a half?
7 months.
Oh, shit. That's it?
Oh, yeah.
7 months?
Yeah. And I was told I'd get at least 2 years.
Yeah, but you know. But Gresh, what happened was
Gresh was all done. Originally, it was supposed to be me and Gresh.
Gresh and Zolak were a radio team.
In Providence.
Right.
But originally, Zoe was going to be in the morning with Toucher and Rich instead of Wallach.
Really?
Yeah. I helped Wallach get that job, by the way.
It wouldn't have worked as well.
It wouldn't have worked because Fred would have killed Zoe.
Right.
Absolutely killed him.
I don't know him.
No, he would have killed him because he can't focus. And I don't think Zoe would have been doing sports flashes.
No,
that's not his thing.
Right.
All right. So then it was going to be me and Gresh.
I have told you in the Patriots postgame, you and Gresh are good together.
I thought Andy's best work was during the Patriots.
I'm not a big fan of him as a daily talk show host, but I thought you guys were actually a pretty good team.
I thought the pregame show we did was terrific. We had a great time. We had a blast.
So they wanted to get Gresh in.
They wanted to get Gresh in. So it was supposed to be me and Gresh. Gresh was doing satellite in New York and couldn't do it. So then Gresh got out of his deal in New York, wanted to come here, and Mark Chernoff was always a big fan of Gresh's.
Mm-hmm.
And Chernoff wanted to get Gresh in. He's the guy down in New York at FAM.
Yeah, I know.
And when Gresh came on and said that Nomar, he asked Nomar Garcia-Para, he was filling in for Zoe, he asked Nomar, he said, do you consider yourself a loser?
Right.
And the Globe picked it up and ran it.
I remember that, yeah.
And the guys at CBS Radio New York, they went crazy. They thought it was awesome.
Right.
Controversy, we got to get Gresh in. So they called Boston and they said, take Tanguay out and put Gresh in.
Did you know this was happening?
No.
No whiff of it all?
None.
Huh.
Now, management here still claims it was their decision. It was not. It was a New York decision.
Not management here. Management
yeah, no, management at the sports hub.
Yeah.
Because when I asked for the day off, they didn't know I was getting fired. They got a call later that day on a Thursday, and they said, and the New York people said, take Tanguay out,
right.
Put Gresh in.
Mm-hmm.
And I could, you know, they really fought for me. You could tell. I mean, they really went to bat for me.
That never happens.
No, it never happens.
So did you think at that point, so they fire you, they bring Gresh, and the show does do better.
Can I say one more thing?
I guess.
Yeah. What really pissed me off.
It's taking long enough to
get
to this point.
What really pissed me off wasn't so much about the fact that I got fired.
Yeah.
Was the fact the way they did it. They treated me like an amateur. They treated me like I was spinning records on the weekend, where at 2 o'clock, they said, come into the office. I had helped build the Patriots radio network. I had helped put it on the map. I had helped them assemble the station by telling people who should be where.
Like who?
Felger. I mean, I used to talk to Hannon about Felger when he was on ESPN Radio.
Yeah.
I was there when the original meeting took place. It was me, Mike Thomas, Hannon, and Felger. And we were talking about who should be the producers. Mm-hmm. We were talking about what the lineup should be. Felger and I both agreed Maz should be on in the afternoon, the whole bit. So I was like, you know, at least you guys could have done is said, take me aside and let me make the call. And just say, you know what, I've decided to move on.
You believe
on.
You deserve more.
I deserved more.
Some courtesy.
But there was none. They treated me like, yeah, they treated me terribly.
Do you think it'll be any different here when the time
comes? No, it won't.
I mean,
but
it's the way these things work.
But that's the way these things work. But I just thought I had a relationship with Hannah.
Well, that's your own fault.
It is. I was naive.
That's your fault. That's not their fault. That's your fault.
Well, I just believed that I thought that there was a loyalty and a friendship there that didn't exist. So now we've moved on.
Did you think, so they fired your ass, they kicked your ass out of the building. Did you think at that point, that was when, 2010?
Well, I did the Sun. I kept doing the Patriots pregame.
I know, but I'm saying from it. What year was that? 2000?
I can't remember. Okay. I don't know.
Did you think at that point that your radio career was done?
Yes.
You were never going to be a daily talk show host again.
Never
happened
again.
You're not, as we're speaking here, yet.
I know, because Dino's on vacation.
Well, no, but you know what I mean.
I'm right. I never thought that would be the case.
So now did you want to even do it again or no? Did you want to be that fake pretend guy again? When did this pretend light go off in your head? Because I don't know which is, I still don't know which is the real Gary.
I'll tell you. Oh, yes, you do.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, you're so full of crap.
I don't know.
You know, the way I'm on the radio is when you and me and Brad, for whatever, are eating at Border Cafe, that's the way I'm on the radio here is the way I am there.
That is true. When I first met Gary Tanguay, I thought he's a lot different than he is on the air.
No question.
Right.
And then what happened was, I'll tell you exactly when the light went off, mm-hmm. okay? We were in, Gresh and I were recording our final pre- and post-game interview with Jonathan Kraft at the Super Bowl in Arizona.
Okay. Yeah. Right. You were there. Yes.
Indy.
No. Arizona. You were there in Arizona. I saw you there, yeah.
Yeah.
We did shows there. Yes.
Yes, that's right, in Arizona. Gresh and I, we knew we were all done, mm-hmm. okay? Because once again, I didn't think that I was treated properly, and they were putting in the paper that Bertrand's going to take over and blah, blah, blah. So, and that's fine. That's the way life goes.
We were
pre-recording the report that we did on the pregame show with Jonathan. And Gresh was like just sucking up to Jonathan. And I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, Andy and I thought had a lot to do with the success of that radio network. And the team is ultimately responsible.
Of course, you know that.
But I thought, of course, if you win, people listen.
No, but the show was good.
And I thought Andy and I, along with Howie Sylvester, had worked very hard to put it together.
I think that was a good show. Yeah, right. I agree. For what it is, it was good.
Right. So I'm sitting there, and I'm going, we're getting pushed out the door. And Gresh is just like sucking up to Jonathan, and I'm like, why?
He told him how many games they had done together?
Yeah,
or
he said, you know, this will be the such and such hour game we've done together. And
Jonathan,
I'm like, just get me out of
here. That's embarrassing.
I just want to go.
Didn't Gresh badmouth me to Jonathan Kraft, too?
Yeah, he did.
What
did
he say?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have said to me, like, you know, look out for Menahan, he's dangerous. And I said, look, Menahan's the only guy that's ever been loyal.
Like, who? Who? Don't say, you can't say a lot of people on this podcast. This is,
Gresh said it. You know, I've had some friends that you don't know that have said, you know, be careful with him. And I've said, he's the most loyal guy. He's done more for me in my
life. Be careful
business.
How? Like, what does Gresh be careful? What does that mean?
Well, you know, the fact that, you know, you know what Gresh's problem was, is that you didn't pay your dues. You came in 3 years.
But who cares about that, though? What does that have to do with loyality, though?
It has nothing to do
Gresh,
with loyalty.
To Gresh, who I've tried to get on here, he won't come on.
It has nothing to do with loyalty. Yeah. And, you know, I still consider Gresh a friend. I still like him. So, but the point is we were in that segment with Jonathan Kraft, and it was during Deflategate. And Jonathan said to us, you know, the Colts could have deflated the football, right, before mm-hmm. they gave it back. And I almost got up and left. I was almost like, serious?
But you didn't fight back, right?
I didn't because I wanted to get paid, basically.
Right.
They paid me way too much money to do that job anyways.
Well, you and A, right.
I mean, and I was like, and I almost got up and left, and I was like, no, I'm going to ride it out. Because that was bullshit. I mean, the Colts did not deflate the footballs.
I don't think so either.
No, okay. So
we disagree on Deflategate, but I would agree that the Colts did not deflate footballs.
So, like, I'm supposed to.
You're a grown man. You had a microphone.
I could have
said that's bullshit.
And I didn't.
You pussied out.
I did.
Okay.
I did.
So then you're mad at yourself for being a pussy.
Yes. And then Sunday morning, of course, like Ian Rappaport and Schefter all float that.
Right.
So I'm saying, I know where that came from.
Which is their job.
Which, that's fine.
Right.
So at that point, when I left that interview, I said, I'm done. If I ever do radio again, when I do radio and TV, I got to go all in. And that's when I went on television and I said, Brady's a liar. He is guilty. Because I've always thought he was guilty. I've just always thought he was guilty. And a guy at Comcast said to me, are you sure you know what you're doing? That was a senior executive. And I said, yeah, I do. I know exactly what I'm doing. because the people who make money in this business are the ones that speak their mind and are compelling. That's, you're making money now, even though it's not the best deal in the world, but you're doing all right.
It's pretty damn good.
It's okay. You could have done better.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, Callahan, Felger,
sure,
and Maz. Toucher and Rich. Those, without question, the highest paid people in the market. They are crushing it.
Who? All the guys you just
named? All the guys I just mentioned.
That's probably true.
They are all making a ton of dough.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking over 700 grand.
Well, it's a good living.
It's a great living.
Yes.
Okay, but you have a guy like me in television, and in television, you're only going to get so far. So I said, screw this. I've been loyal to all of these teams. Mm-hmm. I've been loyal to management. They
and
started
what
talking.
Did that do for you?
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Now, I would say to you, you're fucking in your 50s. You probably should have figured that out like 10 years ago.
15 yeah, but
years
see,
ago. I mean, I knew it from day one.
Yeah, but here's what. I didn't know I could do it. And I had the same discussion with Felger 10 years ago. And Felger said to me, because I remember I was with Jerry and Felger at the Subway in Foxborough. Gillette Stadium wasn't built yet. They were still practicing in Wrentham.
I've heard this story before.
Well, okay, well, I'm going to tell the people out there.
You've told on the air before.
Well, all right. Well, whatever. Okay, Jerry just said to Felger, get behind the mic and say stuff. And Felger said, that's exactly what I'm going to
do. Well, I have said that Felger, people, you know, say that Ordway was a big influence on Felger. And I think he did learn some stuff. But I have always said, and other people said this to me too, is that Jerry's Felger's biggest influence, I think, on
formatically,
there.
How to run a show,
Ordway.
It was Ordway.
Right.
Personality-wise, it was Jerry.
It would be Jerry.
Jerry.
Although, ironically, Felger does nothing but sports now.
Right.
Nothing. And I know, you know Mike better than I do, but you know he has thoughts outside of sports.
Oh, he's very up on politics.
Right, but he has decided for some reason to ignore it, but it's been successful.
Well, he's been very successful.
But I would just be bored. I'd fucking blow my brains out.
Well, I think that if Jerry Callahan talks sports all the time, he's Felger.
No, because Felger remains passionate about it. Jerry would not stay passionate about it every day.
Right, Felger still is Felger's like Bob Ryan. He's still passionate about the games.
Yeah, but I get
which to as me, you get older,
too,
it changes.
Too sporty McKenzie for me.
Right, from
my
taste
buds, but obviously you can do it both ways.
Right.
So you show. So basically, I got you on the station here.
Well, you and I talked. Yes, you got me in. But you and I talked where I said, and it really started with us, is when we got on, and I know we joke about it, but when we got on Fallon.
That was a big deal for you.
Well, that was a big deal, period.
But it was a bigger deal for you than it was for me.
Well, fine, but I'll tell
you.
No,
I would say that, Yeah, no, that's true, yes.
When I called
you. That was 2013.
Okay, now this is where I know, and I've never talked to you about this, you didn't know what to think of me. You came on our show once, and you were all over us about an article about something.
It was right when I'll tell you the story real quick. It was a couple years before that, because I started doing Comcast at like maybe the end of 2010, beginning of 2011.
Okay.
I wrote something about something. I don't know what the fuck it was. And it was some story, and I knew right when I got there that you guys hadn't read it. Right. And my thought was, sitting there, great, fantastic.
Right.
I can shit on these guys.
Right.
Which I would say to these to Rookie Week and all these other younger guys, the minute you get in there and are combative, you're fucking home. If you sit there and are just boring like everybody else, they'll fucking forget about you.
Right.
I yelled at Felger. Felger and I went back and forth. He finally said, I didn't read it. I turned to you. I said, did you read it? You said, no, I didn't read it. And I said, great, fantastic. It's the first fight we ever had. But it was key to me. The commercial ended. The segment ended. We went to break, and all three of us were totally fine. We were laughing about it.
Totally.
You know, that's not the case with everybody.
It is not. It is not.
You've done enough. You know that's
right.
You know,
we're like, it's fine. No big deal. See you later.
It's good. It's better. I mean, you and I get legitimately angry with each other on the air.
Well, yeah,
it's real.
Debate.
But it's not real once we go to the commercial. We realize how stupid it is. It's never with us, other than the time you called me a couple of weeks ago and screamed at me. I don't think we've ever been mad at each other. I don't think.
No.
But go ahead, what were we going to say?
What I was going to say was when you came on and we screamed at each other and we ended up on Fallon, and I called you up and I said, you're not going to believe this, but we are in Jimmy Fallon's monologue with Elliot Spitzer.
Right. You called me and left a message. No,
and
what you said was, it's all happening, was what you
that's
said.
That's it. It's all happening. That's my Hollywood thing. It's all happening.
Which is,
and
Bill, I guess, true.
Bill Bridger was like, I can't believe it. He says, I'm getting calls from all these other GMs.
I remember getting a message from a friend of mine in Chicago, maybe he was. And he taped it on his phone. They played it in some blooper reel at a baseball stadium.
Oh, right. They did that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we could find it, Ben, if you're running it. Play it here for a second and, you know, just play the back and forth. It'll sound stupid.
It was on Deadspin. It was all over the place.
Yeah, but find it for a second, Ben, and run it. That's it. Bill Belichick is a football coach.
No, I completely disagree.
Gary, you're full of crap. What are you talking about?
No, you're full of crap. No, you're not. Come on. Are you serious? Why don't you let me speak for once?
Okay,
I understand how you feel. The fact is that a guy under his watch is charged with committing murder.
No, Gary.
A guy under his watch, and he should come out and he should explain.
He's a football coach. He's not a prison guard.
He's the general manager. He's the runner of football operations. He should say, look, this is what I knew about him. I'm sorry about the situation.
Gary, that's what he should say. May I get 30 seconds?
Well, no, and I'm going to tell you right now that he deserves more than a manager at Subway.
Why?
To compare Bill Belichick to a manager at Subway. It's idiotic. You're a moron.
Gary, give me 30 seconds.
That's ridiculous. That's inhumane.
That's the first thing you said.
You're as cold-blooded as Belichick.
That's the first thing you said.
You don't have a heart.
Here's what I'll say.
You have no heart. You have no emotion.
Why am I here?
You're treating murder like the guy pulled a hamstring.
Gary, don't be a jerk. Seriously.
I'm not being a jerk. You're being a jerk because that's what you sound like.
You're trying to get yaks about it. Don't say that about me. That's crap. Don't say that. Don't say that.
Well, explain your difference. Okay, go ahead.
Shut up for a minute.
Speak your piece.
And when we did that during the he'll do it after.
Yeah, Gary. I know.
You're fine. You got plenty of time.
No,
it's 10 minutes
to
get there.
Kid waiting by the phone.
Who cares about your kid? You don't care about your kid.
Did you hate your son?
When we were arguing back and forth and Lou was in the middle, I had no idea that, because we've had arguments like that before and after.
I didn't think it was that good. It was okay.
It was funny. It was funny. But when you watch it now, we're so stupid. It's the stupidest fucking argument of all time.
It's like a couple of 5-year-olds.
That's why it took off. It was just so dumb. The content is terrible.
Because Fallon looked at it and said, look, these idiots. Right. I mean, they're morons. There's no substance.
He had a bad joke, too. Something about the view. It was bad. I mean, he's a terrible monologue.
It's ridiculous.
But that's the kind of stuff I would say in my defense. You're not going to get a lot of that now with the current crew of Comcast. You're not getting a lot of that on TV.
Oh, no. That's why we need to get you back on.
I'll be back.
I know you will.
I'll be back eventually.
You needed my approval.
So this is the most fun. They said to me,
are you okay?
So like days like today and with Jerry and with everyone.
Right.
That's the most fun you've ever had in radio.
Absolutely.
This long. When did you start doing radio?
I started radio when I was 16.
That was playing what? Opera?
I was playing opera records at WRUM AM and FM in Rumford, Maine.
How long did you do that for?
I did that for 2 years.
Now, how does Gary Tanguay, who's living in Rumford, Maine, decide I want to do radio in opera? Like, who was the person that you said?
Randy Holtham.
Who's that?
Randy Holtham was the program director,
now general manager. Now dead. Yes.
No, he's still alive.
Still alive.
WRUM in Rumford.
Where was that station?
That station was on Congress Street.
Would people listen to it in your town? Everybody listen to it?
We did in town because no school announcements.
Oh, was that?
Yeah, that type of thing.
Was it 24-hour day?
Oh, God, no. We signed off at the AM signed off at sundown. Then we went FM that signed off at midnight.
It was all opera all day?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was whatever anybody would pay. I mean,
one of those stations.
It was one of those stations. You know, we'd play Ronnie Millsap. And then, because we get paid by Texaco to run the Texaco Metropolitan Opera.
Sunday morning,
we'd play American Top 40.
So what was your role?
I was basically a board op.
So you weren't a DJ or anything?
No. What they would do is they would let me play records 15 minutes from 11:45 to midnight on Saturday. And I would line up my 4 or 5 records.
Right.
And I would play them. And I would come out and do the, hey, everybody. And what my dad said to me?
Because
they stay up to listen.
The late Noah Tanguay.
Yes, the late, great Noah Tanguay. Dad said to me, he goes, sounds like you're trying to take a shit.
You're trying too hard?
He says, it was Ronnie Radio. He goes, you sound like you're constipated.
Right.
You're going, hey, everybody, it's WRUM, and this is Gary Tanguay.
But everybody sucks at first.
Of course they do.
I mean, there's something.
Of course they do. That's why I get so pissed off at people, and it happens here, it happens at every place I've worked, where they look at a 22-year-old kid or a 21-year-old kid, and they go, that kid will never make it.
No, that's ridiculous.
And I said, that's ridiculous. I go, come on. I hate that. It's happened to me. I was the fraternity kid working at the radio station in Bangor, and they said, hey, he's not that good.
And then you went to Bangor after that?
Yeah, I went to college.
Right, you did radio in college.
I did radio in college, and I went to work at a WABI and WBGW.
Now, did you want to be great, or did you just want to be on the radio?
I wanted to be great. I wanted to be...
But you weren't, right? I mean, now you look back, were you a great disc jockey?
No.
Can you be one?
Well, you can't now because it's a different era.
It's gone now. I grew up like the Lacquadaires and Maddie and those guys are gone. You can't do that.
Yeah, they're gone. I mean, you just don't have it. When it comes to music and personality, I mean, it doesn't exist. Even Maddie. Maddie plays 2 records an hour.
Right, he plays 2 or 3 an hour.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same.
So who did you want to be? Like, who
there was a guy in was a guy in Brunswick, Maine.
Yeah.
His name was Willie B. Mitchell.
Oh, boy.
Okay, and I think he's still in radio in Maine.
Yeah.
Willie B. Mitchell was in the morning. See, I knew all the local guys. Willie B. Mitchell was in the morning. Steve Rott was in the afternoon. And it'd be like, hey, this is Willie B. Mitchell, Y106 FM. And what he would say at the end of every show was, hey, Mom, come pick me up. I'm all done with the show. And I thought that was original. I didn't know that Dale Dorman had been saying that for like 20 years in Boston.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You know, but like Charlie Tuna, Charlie Van Dyke, Casey Kasem,
so
all
you didn't
those
care
guys.
About, you didn't think you would do sports radio didn't exist really, right?
Well, sports radio didn't exist, but I did a lot of high school basketball games in college. Right. And I thought I could do play-by-play or, you know, I was kind of, I used to hang around the TV station because we had an AM, yeah. FM and a TV station. And the news director was Don Colson. And I said, you know, hey, Don, you know, what about giving me a chance doing the TV sports? And he said, you sound good on the radio.
So you
that
did
was pretty
that?
Much it.
Oh, yeah, that was
the
it?
TV was done.
So you wanted to be a play-by-play guy.
I didn't know what I wanted to be. I wanted to be in radio, I thought. So I applied for sports jobs. I applied for play-by-play jobs. I applied for being a disc jockey.
When was the first time you were a guy making a living doing radio?
Make a real living was at WIDE in Biddeford, Maine.
Biddeford, Maine.
Dick Lutzko was the general manager.
Was he really?
Yeah.
What did that pay?
That paid two. I'll forget. We were negotiating, and it was $200 a week, and I said.
What year is this?
82.
Okay.
I got out of college.
35 years ago.
And
Garrett,
I said,
Jesus.
I said, $200. They said, $200 a week. And I said, you know what? I need 210. Like I was this big
shot. True, yeah.
And like lots to this day.
Did pause?
He must have been laughing inside.
Right.
He does now Dartmouth football, I think. Yeah. And he was, he thought about it. He goes, okay. Like I had won.
Right. So what were you doing there?
I played music. I played like yacht rock radio.
So this is where you, so the thing we do was born there.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, right. No. I mean, the thing that was born in college.
College, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But
you were doing that there.
I was doing that there. We were playing, you know, Ann Murray in the midday. I was reading school lunch announcements, weather every 10 minutes.
Did you really hit the post, though?
Oh, all the time. I was great at it.
So it was taped or it was live?
Oh, it was live.
Was it an actual record?
Oh, record.
Right,
it was 82.
It was a record.
Yeah, you queued up the record and you put up the record and you queue it up and you queue it up and you move it back a quarter turn on the turntable.
Right.
And, you know, WID Radio, this is Gary Tangway in the midday. Don't forget tomorrow morning, the mayor of the morning, Colton Dana. It's got, you know, the weather forecast or whatever.
Did you think you were doing good radio?
I thought it was pretty good.
Was anybody listening to it?
Oh, yeah. See,
really?
Back then, yeah, locally.
Well, how many towns would that get to?
Pretty much like Biddeford and Saco.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know,
but everybody
maybe,
there would listen to it.
Maybe into Sanford. But, you know, we did the high school football games. I did a high school football game over a phone, literally. I had a phone in my hand. And I did the play-by-play
through
the phone.
From the press?
Because the mic mixer died. So I grabbed the phone.
Right.
And I would do the first and 10.
So what is your, so you're how old then? 24 or whatever?
22.
So what is your, are you thinking I could do this, I could work at the station for the next 20 years?
Oh, God, no. I had an offer to go to a station in Laconia.
Well.
And I didn't. Then I got a job offer to go to WERZ in Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
You took it.
And I took it.
Okay.
That's yesterday's class.
That's Gary and Mark in the morning.
That's Mark and Gary in the morning.
Didn't work out well.
No, I got burned out there. I was working a ton. I wasn't making any money.
Was this a real morning show like we do, or was it like
no,
music?
No, this was like a Z Morning. Supposedly, it was supposed to be like the Z Morning Zoo.
You played music?
Played music, and he was supposed to be funny. Nice guy, but we weren't funny.
Right.
We weren't funny.
Show sucked.
It wasn't good. Nice guy. I shouldn't say this. He's a really nice guy.
We can say it.
And I don't think I was that good.
I'm sure you weren't.
We were trying to be funny, and I don't remember it working.
Oh, I would love to hear some of that. What did you get paid for that?
$14,000 a year.
$14,000 a year. That's a raise.
Was a raise.
You took it.
Anyway, I took it. I did high school football on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had to play Sinatra records on the AM station on Sundays. So I worked my ass off.
So it was 7 days a week.
Oh, yeah, a lot of the
for
times,
For 14
yeah.
grand.
Yeah.
How long did you last there for before they made the mugs and fired you?
They didn't fire me.
You quit.
I quit.
You quit.
I quit, and we got the mugs in with my name on it, and that's the same day I quit.
So you quit.
A couple years.
You quit, and you were out of the business.
I was.
You were selling...
bank signs. Because all my friends were making money. All my friends were making like 50, 60 grand a year. They were engineers.
And you're making
my
shit.
Roommate was a town manager, and I had no money.
So you're making some money.
So I got into the bank business, and I got into sales, and I went from making, in 2 years, I went from making 14 grand to making 120.
So why'd you get out of that?
Because I didn't like it.
So where'd you go?
I got a call from Rick Radzik. I was working on a Friday, at Maurice Blewett, and I was selling bank signs. And
were you keeping your toe in the business?
I was actually. It's funny. Phil Serkin was, and this is where the first time I met Ordway. I was an original member of WEEI.
I know you were.
AM 590. So I did a weekend show.
How'd you do that?
I did it from 10 to 3.
No, but I'm saying you're some nobody. Like, how do you get...
I had been filling in...
This is 590?
This is 590. When they were news radio 590, yes. I had filled in and done some morning sports.
With?
Like a little... Oh, God, who was it? Gay Vernon and...
Okay, yeah.
Dave Shea used to do it.
Yep, I remember that.
I filled in for Shea.
Okay.
All right. And I did some morning sports. They went all sports.
Right.
I lost the first opening to Willie May.
Well, it's good.
Willie May won, got that gig.
So that's weekends.
That's weekends.
And he was on another station.
Yeah, he was on ILD.
ILD, yeah,
coach. Right. Then I got a job doing Talk 10 to 3. My dad had a heart attack.
Yep.
I was working 7 days a week. I was flying all over the country. I wasn't seeing my father, quadruple bypass. I wasn't doing a good job on the radio.
You traveling a lot for this, obviously.
I was traveling a lot. I was in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I was everywhere. And I was really too nice. During that show, I mean, I couldn't disagree with anybody.
Total pussy.
I mean, this guy would call, hey, Gary, I think that Mike Greenwell's good. And I go, yeah, well, maybe you're right. And this other guy would call, Mike Greenwell sucks. He can't throw. Jimmy Myers would get calls from 6 to 10.
On the weekends, loaded. So Jimmy would do 6 to 10 in the morning,
on Saturdays.
They would start at 6 in the morning on the weekends.
On the weekends.
And he'd be loaded.
Loaded.
Was he a good talk show host?
I thought Jimmy was.
Really?
I mean, it was, you know, Jimmy did his thing. The problem with Jimmy would get in trouble, you know, with other stuff. I thought Jimmy, because Jimmy had a lot of passion. So I thought it was good. And I'd come on at 10 o'clock, all those phones, dark.
Gone.
Go blank. So I would talk a lot.
For 5 hours?
5 hours I'd be alone.
What would you talk about? What year is this? This is...
88.
I was going to say late 80s, early
90s. Yeah, I mean, Red Sox, Patriots weren't big. Celtics, do a lot of Celtics.
That's shit, bro.
I mean, the Bruins, the Bruins. But I sucked at it. I was terrible at it because I would agree with everybody.
Right.
I mean, I was terrible.
So how'd you go from that to the next thing?
So I quit. I was about to be fired. Yes, they were going to fire me. Yeah. I sucked. Guess Ordway. I mean, Doug Lane was there.
Right.
I mean, Ordway and Lane were running around the place.
Right.
You know, and I sucked. So I quit basically before they could fire me because I said, this isn't right. This isn't going to work. And then I did some theater in Portugal.
I know that. Acting. Right.
Continued to sell bank signs. It was making a ton of money. Bought cars with cash.
Right.
I'll never forget. I bought like a Toyota Camry. The guy said, you got finance? I go, no, here's 15 grand.
Oh, look at you.
Let's tell you, that was great.
Wow.
No kids.
Star theater.
Star of the theater. Yes. Lieutenant Schrank in West Side Story. Thought about becoming an actor.
Yeah, that would have taken off.
Yeah, that would have been good. Had a great time at Portsmouth. Great time.
Okay.
Got a phone call. Was working at Bluen. Got a phone call on a Friday afternoon. This guy, Rick Radzik, who's the assistant program director at the Sports Hub, said, you should be in radio. I need you back in radio. Will you come and do weekend sports at BZ Radio?
Okay.
And that's how I got back in. And I got back in. Then I went to work in Worcester. And then I got really drunk with Alan Miller, who was the executive producer of Channel 4. And when I outdrank him at Daisy's, that's how I got a job in TV.
So your first job at TV in Boston was Channel 4?
It was not. It was Channel 56.
56.
So what
weekends?
Weekends. What happened was...
Who was the lead anchor of 56 Sports at that point? Frank Malico?
Michael Barkan.
Oh, Barkan.
I owe a lot to Barkan.
Yeah.
A ton to Barkan.
Good guy.
Really good guy. Jimmy Young. I owe a ton to Jimmy Young,
Jimmy Young.
So... Dickerson and I met. He was doing PA at the Worcester Ice Cats, and I'm in Worcester. And I said, well, I'm not going to do this bank sign thing. I made a bunch of money, and I put it in the bank. So I said, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to take this job in Worcester, making 30 grand.
Right.
And Dickerson was the producer, but because we didn't get any calls, it became a two-man show.
Right.
Right? John Holt was doing TV at the local cable station. They asked me to fill in, and that's when I first started doing TV.
In Worcester.
And because I could talk on the radio, I just got in front of the camera and talked.
How was fucking Alan Miller? What are you talking about?
Well, slow down here,
you just talked about
it. I know.
You said Rick Radzik in like four different spots.
Yeah, I know. I'm all over the place.
Where are you in the world at this point?
Okay. I am in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Okay. You're doing the thing with Dickerson on the radio.
Yeah, like early 90s.
Is every day with Dickerson on the weekends?
Yeah, every day.
Every day.
Monday through Friday. WWTM, now known as WVEI.
Okay, so you're there with Greg.
I'm there with Greg.
And you start doing some TV.
And I started doing some TV.
Okay. Then when do you get drunk with Alan Miller?
No. That's not happening.
Hasn't happened yet.
No.
You've already referred to it.
So I send a tape in to Channel 56.
Okay.
All right? They need freelancers because Malakote's gone to Detroit.
Yes.
They don't want to pay anybody full time.
Right.
So me, Scott Cohen, John Rook, we all start filling in.
Yep.
The first time I fill in on the weekends, it's a disaster.
I can only imagine.
Train wreck.
You haven't done any TV, right?
I've done a little bit.
Right.
But I could fake
it. Why was the train wreck?
I went to put in my contact lenses and I put them in the wrong eye. I got the right contact lens in my left and the left in my right.
Okay.
All right. The microphone dropped off my tie. The majority of the sports cast, the microphone was at my feet. I said the Bruins won by a score of 3-3. Okay.
It is all true.
All true.
Does it still exist, this tape?
I hope Jimmy Clark might have it. Great Jimmy Clark, who works with Fairweather.
I think we have to find that.
Contact Fairweather or Jimmy Clark.
Okay, I'll check up Billy.
It was a disaster.
Okay.
Disaster.
Okay.
So anyway, so I'm doing that. And
but they still hired you.
Well, as a freelancer. Okay. I mean, they were they didn't want to pay.
Right, so they paid you nothing.
Paid me nothing.
Right.
So in order to do the TV, I had to lie to the radio station in Worcester. So I said, I'm having lunch with my sister in New Hampshire. My car broke down.
Right.
But I was on TV.
Right.
No one noticed.
How did they not know?
No one noticed.
Touched a lot with the 56 power back then.
Yeah, they were watching the Banana Splits.
That's a good show.
Yeah.
Did you have your real name on there as well?
I did. Yeah, okay. The whole bit. I mean, they could see me.
Right. So you did it.
I did it.
Okay.
So then after a couple of days, Barkan said, look, you're going to be the permanent fill-in.
Nice.
Because I do it.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'd go cover Patriots. And that's when I first did the TV thing in town.
Right.
No benefits, just a daily fee.
And not an intellectually stimulating position.
Not hard to do.
No.
Not hard to do. So.
Did you like doing it?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I felt like
a big deal.
I thought it was just great.
You started seeing these people, the Bob Ryans, the Will McDonoughs.
I'd see Bell, Ryan. I'd see, Gary Gillis.
Right.
You know, Dowling, all these guys.
Okay. So you're 50. How long are you 56 for?
For like a year.
All right, then are we getting to the Alan Miller thing?
So I'm working at BZ Radio on the weekends. I'm working at 56 during the week and doing the TV.
And you're in Worcester at all or no?
Worcester's not in Worcester. I'm down in Worcester.
Good.
Because I said to them, I quit because I've been lying to you, and they said you're fired, and I left, and I was
okay. So you're 56 in BZ.
I'm at 56 in BZ.
And Alan's at BZ.
Right. So I knew Alan, but we had a Christmas party at the Boston Harbor Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I met my wife at Channel 4. We had not met yet.
Okay.
And we went to Daisy's after party. And that's when I was drinking, and I could drink a ton.
Right.
Miller was drinking Bud, and I was drinking Black and Tans. And I drank Guinness, and I kept calling him a pussy.
Right.
Because I just kept going, you can't drink.
Oh, he can drink.
Yeah, but I could drink more.
Okay.
That's why I stopped.
So he's impressed.
So he goes, wow, Tang, you're great.
Right.
And I was in. And I showed him a tape I had done in Worcester.
Right.
And he said, the one thing I will say about myself is when it has come to do TV, it came naturally. I could sit in front of a camera and be natural.
You're a comfortable TV presence. I will say that.
Yeah. Never been a problem. Never been nervous.
It's like you're here right now.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then Scott Wally went to news. Singing his way into news.
Right.
And the news director, Greg Caputo, at 56, didn't really think much of me.
Can we just get to, so how did you get to, what, why did you get to, so you got the Channel 4.
So I got the Channel 4, and they said, do you want a freelance?
For Channel 4.
For Channel 4.
Okay.
And I said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for Lobel, and you know.
You did not like Lobel.
But at the end of the day, I didn't respect him.
I mean, Lobel was.
Don't meet your heroes.
He was king shit at that point. I mean, he was.
Not really. It was starting to go, it was starting to fall apart a little bit, because
what happened was. We're in the early 90s, aren't we?
No, you're talking 2000.
Jesus, with you and your fucking timelines.
Yeah,
at that point, so we're nearing the end.
We're 99, 2000.
Okay, so we're nearing the end.
Bob Lobel is the most talented / insecure person I've ever met. On one end of the spectrum, so talented. I mean, Lobel would say something on TV and you go, how come I couldn't say something like that?
He was a great television personality.
Tremendous.
Great. I think the best ever in this city.
I would agree. But so insecure.
Like how? Give me an example.
Well, I'll give you an example. I started to gain a little traction, and they wanted me to do Sports Final instead of Burton, and he was very protective of his spot. I mean, Lobel never got along with Numi because he always looked at Numi as a threat.
Right.
Even though their skill sets were completely different.
Numi is so, anti-feuding, and, he's not interested. Numi, one thing about Numi I've always been impressed with is the politics of this business Or don't, he's not a gossip.
He doesn't care.
So I would go and talk to him. We'd have a nice talk, but he didn't. He didn't want to talk about the EI shit.
Never.
He didn't want to talk about Chandler. He doesn't give a shit about that stuff.
Numi is a very smart guy.
Secure.
Very secure.
Very secure like, in what he is.
You know, let me do my horse racing. Let me do my Bruins.
Like he left. He left here.
He just said, I'm out.
He left. I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, I'm out.
That's Channel 4, same thing.
He left. Yeah, he left.
Right.
He said, I'm out.
Nobody does that.
No, nobody does
that. But go ahead, Lobel.
Lobel was very friendly to me. I went to his house for the first Christmas party. Then I started to gain a little traction.
Do you think the fact that you were dating Susan Warnick at the time was an issue?
No, that had no issue.
Okay.
But somebody said something to him about Tanguy's really good or something like that. It started to go south a little bit to the point when I go into his office, he wouldn't turn around to look at me. I didn't get an invitation to the Christmas party.
Ooh.
I was no longer in favor.
Have you seen him lately? Do you see him ever now? Or
I haven't seen him now.
No?
Yeah, no. So, I mean, the thing is, when I first met Bob Lobel, I said, I am meeting a giant in the industry.
I think the kingmaker in Boston before Ordway.
Off television, very sad situation.
Yeah.
Very sad. And I feel bad to the point where... you know, if Bob listens to this, I just wish he would realize how good he was.
He was great.
I don't think he does. But see, I don't think he does.
He was great. He was the
best ever.
I think so,
and
too.
And now you see this thing where he's suing a golf course.
Yeah,
I'm like, come on.
It's sad.
It's sad.
It's a sad situation.
It's a sad situation.
But you got guys like Jerry. Jerry would tell you that Lobel was a great guy to him.
Well, yeah, because he needed him.
Yeah, and I guess Jerry wasn't a threat, too, right?
Well, Jerry wasn't a threat.
But by the way, all due respect to you, you weren't a threat to Lobel either.
I know I
like,
wasn't.
Realistically, I'm saying. Not in his mind.
But in his mind, I was. In his mind, everybody was a threat except Steve Burton. That's why Burton got the weekends, because he didn't think Burton was good enough to take over, and eventually he did.
Jerry will tell stories of, I'll do sports final. They would go across the street to the bar, get a bunch of drinks and food. Lobel would come over. He wouldn't even hang out with them. He would just hand the credit card.
Yeah, pick up the tab.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Right.
There's something to be said for that.
Yeah. Oh,
Why are you looking at your phone? Yeah. What are you doing? You're fine.
Well, no, I got to check on the kids here.
You have plenty of time.
Yeah, I got to get going.
You got 10 more minutes.
Fine, but I got to leave then. Yes.
Why? What is your...
I got to get him to the movies.
Why?
Go ahead.
You see suicide. Anyway, how do you get to Comcast? So Channel 4 fires you.
No. They didn't fire me. I left.
I've been told you've been fired there.
Who told you that?
Lobel told me that.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. That's fine.
So you left. Do you have to go to Comcast?
I left to go to Fox Sports Net.
Right, same thing. What year is that?
That is 2000.
And where are you? Are you doing any radio at this time or no?
This is what I was doing. I was doing BZ Radio on the weekends, doing a talk show, Calling All Sports with Norm Risha.
Oh, you doing? Okay.
Calling All Sports.
Did you suck then, too? You were still a pussy?
I was still a pussy.
Okay.
I was doing Pawtucket Red Sox baseball on
play-by-play?
TV. Play-by-play.
With who?
Rico Petrucelli.
How was
cable.
That? Good guy?
The best.
Everybody says he's a great guy.
Love him.
Yeah.
And Donnie Orsillo would come in and do an inning.
Do you like Orsillo?
Loved him.
Yeah, you still like him?
Love him.
Yeah, he's a good guy, too.
I sucked at baseball. I was not very good at it. Donnie would come in and do an inning.
Much better.
And they said, and they go, well, do you want the Bob Rogers job? I'm like, no, Donnie should get that job. That's not
me. Where, Nesson?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't want that.
Did you ever
do any Nesson?
No.
No, okay.
No, never. No.
So Fox Sports calls.
So, yeah. So I had to give up the Pawtucket Red Sox. I had to give up doing BZ. I did some talk on the weekends, but then Fox Sports called because they're doing this New England Sports Report. It was me, Eric Fried, Kara Henderson, and John Holt.
No Dickerson. Where's Dickerson at this point?
Dickerson is doing EI radio, and he's in Worcester.
Oh,
he's
right.
Doing
EI
on the weekends.
EI. Right, sure.
I got Dickerson into BZ.
Right.
Okay, I've made that guy's career. Anyways,
right.
But
Now he hates you.
Now he hates me. So
does he actually hate you or not?
No,
you guys
no,
get
we're
along fine?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I've known Greg forever. No, that's not it.
Yeah.
So anyways, and then I go to work at Fox Sports Net New England, and then they pulled the plug, and they fired everybody but me. So I was the only on-air personality there, like 2002.
You survived.
I survived because I had a contract.
Right.
So I did one show a day at 6:30, and then Mohegan Sun came into play. We brought Greg on, and the rest is history.
When did you bring Felger on?
Felger came in as a fill-in. I mean, he was just a guest. We just because brought people in. I mean, we had Bradford on. We had Felger on. We had everybody on.
Right.
Buckley. I mean, everybody. How did we get Buckley? I don't know.
You started figuring out at that point. I would say even then, when I would watch you on TV back then, you still weren't a guy who had a big, huge personality.
No, I was a talking head.
Right. So when did that change? It changed on TV before, like, for a while, because this is when I started to get to know you. Like, the guy, even when I did TV together, then I might have dinner with after or whatever, was different than the guy I heard in the radio. Like, at some point on TV, you figured out you couldn't be a total puss all the time.
Right. Well, that's when they took me off Celtics. And they said, we want you to focus on just the talk show. And when I didn't get the Patriots gig, I said, I have no other where to go. My game plan was to do like the Patriots gig and maybe and do Celtics.
Why did you want that job?
I think doing football play-by-play is a blast. I mean, to actually, when you actually do it and you make the calls, it's like sex. It's great. But it's money, so, it's but, so much fun.
But the money is shit.
The money sucks.
Is it more fun than what we did today?
No. No, but you know what? It can be. It
really?
Can. It really can be. Like when Gresh and I did all those 8 high school games, those were fun.
That sounds like a nightmare day.
Well, it was a long day.
What's fun about it?
But doing a football game, getting behind a mic and describing either a basketball or a football game is fun. It really is.
Who's the guy you like working best with on TV? Dickerson? Felger?
Dickerson's easy. Felger's easy. God, there's not a lot of people I don't like
obviously
working
me.
With. Yeah, you were the best because you get it.
Who did you dislike working with?
On TV?
Yeah, who are some assholes?
I'm trying to think. I don't know if we have any assholes. I got to be honest with you. I really don't.
It's a asshole-free place, I got to say.
I mean, you know, here's the thing that bothers me. Comcast, there's no jerks. There really aren't.
No, pretty jerk-free.
It's pretty jerk-free. What bothers me, and I've told him this, Tomasi or Gasper... Or
you've told
Jeff
me.
Howe.
You've told them that or you've told...
Yeah, you got to have something to say. See, sometimes... Like, John Tomasi is so smart.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he'll just say one sentence. Because in actuality, that's all that needs to be said.
Not there, it doesn't, though.
TV, you got to bring it.
Right.
So it makes me mad. Like, Gasper. I'll say to Gasper, you got to be angry. You got to bring something.
Right.
You know, don't be too smart. So I'll say something to him to kind of get him going. To be honest with you, I don't think Chris Gasper has reached his full potential. I think he has a lot more potential.
And you think has not reached his full potential?
I don't think he has reached his full potential.
You think he's lazy?
I think he's afraid. I think he wants to be...
He's a columnist for the Globe. What does he have to be afraid of?
He's not going anywhere. Yeah, I know, but I don't know what it is, but I think Gasper has so much more to give than he does. And I've told him that. And
are you bored with your job?
You mean on television?
Yeah.
No.
You do the same thing every night.
Yeah, but you know what?
You're on tonight?
Yeah, you know what gets the thing that gets boring a little bit is like the office stuff leading up to the show.
I would think.
But when 6:30 hits, I'm never bored.
Oh, it's
you know,
because
I like having.
It's also so fast.
Yeah, it's so fast. But like, I like it when Lou's on.
Because, yeah, he's great.
But because with Lou Maloney, you and I know, angry Lou's great. Lou has such a great sense of humor. And he can be so sarcastic, and that's what we bring out of him on the show.
Sure.
I love that. Look, Ryan's great because he's so passionate. When you're on, who the hell knows what's going to happen?
It's probably not going to happen.
You're going to be on again.
Well, how do you know that?
Now you'll be on again.
You don't know shit.
I know.
Relax with the time. Fucking text him and tell him you're 15 minutes late.
All right,
the world's not
going to
end.
Have I left anything out? This has been probably the worst podcast
ever.
No,
you've been good.
I think it's been boring as hell.
You don't do a lot of backstory. People don't know your backstory a lot.
Well, that's my backstory.
And now you want to be on the station every day.
I do.
Do you think it's going to happen?
I do.
Why is that?
Because you and Jerry want me.
But there are people who don't.
That's fine, but I think you and Jerry are the two most powerful people in the station.
Well, presuming when John's done, when he retires, whether it's now or in a year, well, I mean, you know, are you going to be able to do this show? My concern about you, I have to articulate it to you privately and on the air, I've told other people this, is I don't know if you're going to be focused every day. I'm fucking focused during this conversation. Are you going to be focused every day to do the show for 4 hours every day, 5 days a week, and you're not going to get the vacation that we get? You're going to have to be in here a lot more.
Was I focused today?
Yeah. It's one day, Gare.
Was I focused?
One day. One good show.
When we did Yacht Rock Radio?
Yes, that's two shows.
Okay.
There are shows where it's 8:30 and you've admitted you're out of it. So you're going
to
do this show,
gotta work
and then you're
going
to go to Comcast
and
do a show every night.
I have to come
back every single day. Not during Patriot season. I'm talking about when there's no thing going on. Fucking nothing. It's 6:20 and Jerry's freaking out. We got nothing. I'm freaking out and you're sitting there. You're going to be able to do that every single day.
If Comcast allows me.
Is that a concern?
Yes.
Why has this not been articulated yet?
Well, I got to wait and see what's in play. I mean, I just have to get it approved
by them. If I'm Comcast, by the way, in all honesty, there's a good and bad. If I'm Bridgen or whoever, who is that who ultimately signs off
his
bill? If I'm Bill, I'm saying here's the problem. I'm going to get a worn out Tangway. But there's a chance I'm actually, because of the way Jerry and Kirk work, because of the way they want things done, I'm going to get a Tangway who's actually more focused on everything right now. And it's going to be a great cross-promotional tool for the show.
Correct. I think you will go with the latter.
You do?
I do.
But I can understand why the former would be a concern.
I've had a discussion with Kevin. I've talked about with my wife. It would be a grind, but it's something you got to do, and it's something I want to do.
What
and when you commit to something and you're part of something, you take it much more seriously than just the flippin' filling guy.
Are you worried about the fact that Jerry and I are sort of have a union in a way, almost? Like, you know, do you feel like you'll be on the outside looking in, or do you think you'll be part of
that? Oh, that doesn't bother me, no.
That doesn't bother you?
No, God, no.
I don't even know if it's true or not. I don't even know if that's true or not.
No, that doesn't bother me.
By the way, what?
When you said that Jerry's flipping out because we have nothing and you're flipping out because we have nothing, the one thing I will say is when I'm on, you always have something.
Yeah, but
and you know that's
but
true.
But eventually,
that's true.
Eventually, I wonder if that monkey stops spinning.
I doubt
Does
it.
Does that light burn out?
I don't know. Did it burn out?
I don't think so. It's only been a year.
It's been longer than
a year
that,
and a half, whatever. Yeah, but you know, you've been on every day. Did you like doing the other shows? Do you like doing, like the midday show? You were a candidate for that job.
Yeah, I.
Would
you know,
have taken
that
job?
I don't know. I don't. I really don't know.
Do you have fun
because,
doing that show?
Eh.
Why not?
Because it's Sporty McKenzie all the time. I don't want to do sports all the time, like you.
Well, I don't think, I will say, I don't think 48 wants to do sports all the time.
Yeah, but that show you're supposed to. And by the way, I was never really a candidate. Everybody knew Glenn was going to get that job. It was a backdoor thing, which is fine.
But I talked to you. You would have taken that job.
I don't know. I don't know if I would have.
No?
I don't know.
What is your thought, current thought of sports radio at this station and the other station? What do you think?
I think the morning show here is outstanding. I think that if I came on, we could beat Toucher and Rich because I think when I'm on, we have more fun.
Okay.
And I think you have to have more fun. I think Jerry gets a little angry sometimes, but when you and I are together, I think, and I think sometimes it can be hard on a listener. I think when you and I are together with Jerry, we can make him laugh.
Okay.
We can have some fun. I think we can talk about Trump. We can be serious. We can also do Tere Garrison.
Mm-hmm.
We can also, play stupid light rock and crack some jokes.
I'm talking about more the current state of sports radio in Boston.
Yeah, okay, but I think that with the current state of sports radio in Boston, you have to be an entertainer.
Okay, well,
you can't simply just give
the
facts.
What works and what doesn't?
Well, I think Felger is an entertainer. Even though he talks sports all the time, I think he does it in a very entertaining fashion. I think that TNR, I think that they're right now they're vulnerable. And I think because they've rested on their laurels a little bit. I think they're really talented. They're friends of mine. But I think
we know.
Well, listen, you want enemies, I don't.
No, but that's not that. But I mean,
But I think that they've been doing the same thing. Like they brought up the rap battle again. I think that's old.
What do you mean? What do you mean? I want enemies. You don't. You don't want to have any enemies.
Well, I don't care about enemies.
You think I have enemies?
Yeah, you have enemies.
Not really.
Yeah, you do.
They're radio enemies.
Okay, radio.
And they're all pussies.
Okay, fine.
Okay,
but I think that the Dennis and Callahan show is a ratings juggernaut, but I still think it's ready to go into the next phase.
Well, how about the other shows here?
Oh, the midday show?
What do you think when you listen to the station?
Well, I mean, you know, I like Michael Holly. I think Dale and Holly are boring. I never listen. It's just boring. I think that the midday show, I think it's tough because I think, you know, Christian wants to do more, have more fun. And, you know, Glenn wants to play the hits and talk sports.
Now, my understanding is that 4A wanted you for that show.
That's what he told me.
Well, you have told me that.
That's what he told me.
He didn't want the word, but he wanted you.
Right.
What was his reasoning for that?
Because I would have more fun.
Right. Do you get the sense that he's frustrated now with the word?
Yeah, I think so. I think so a little bit. I think that the thing, when you're in that chair in the midday, as I tell Glenn how to do his job.
I was never a midday guy.
I know, you were right to drive time. I think when what you have to do is you have to bring out the best in Lou and you have to bring out the best in Christian. I'll take credit for Angry Lou because when I was working with him while Ordway was waiting to take the gig, I said, Lou, I said, you're at your best when you're really pissed. I mean, when you just, you know, because Lou tries to get too baseball-centric. He gets too technical.
He knows that.
Yeah, but when he just gets pissed, it says, what are we doing? How come he didn't pitch run in the eighth?
That's more important.
I said, you're great.
Terrific.
And he's funny.
He is.
And I think when you can, you know, like the thing I had going with Christian was, you know, did you have sex last night? The guy has sex every night.
Right, I don't believe that, but yeah.
Well, he claims it.
Do you believe that?
He might
Would
be.
Would you want to have sex every night?
No,
I mean, honestly.
God,
like,
no,
that's,
no.
I know
the same person? No.
No, fuck no.
No,
I
it's
have
like
sex
again?
With a different person every day.
No.
And sometimes at night you just want to lie down, especially with this job. That's the other thing, Gare.
I know sleep.
You're no spring chicken. I predicted your death, I think it was October 23rd, 2015.
But you're late.
I was wrong. You got past it, although everybody at the station was hopeful that day. You got past it.
Right.
You're going to wake up every day. What time did you wake up today?
4 o'clock. 4:10.
That's gonna be every day. You're gonna move it forward a couple minutes, a little bit. You're gonna figure out how to shave some time. That's gonna be every day, every single day.
Your life
is going to change.
I got it.
You're gonna look like Rick Russell in about 3 months when it happens.
Health is important.
But you're gonna be able to handle that.
Yes.
Okay. How about the other candidates for the job when John leaves? Whether he's 3 months.
You mean
from
what?
Now, just other candidates in general.
Yeah, well, you mean Ordway's going to want it. He's going to go for
it. Yeah, he's not going to. That's not going to
get it. Right. I mean, Mutt's a safe pick, and Mutt can come in and do Sporty McKenzie and, kind of quarterback the show, but I don't think he's going to add the personality.
Do you see anybody else on the outside that we haven't talked about?
No, I don't think there's anybody else. I mean, there may be, but I don't think there is.
Because we can't go out of market. That's a failure in Boston.
It is
an absolute stinker in Boston.
Right.
We know that. And there's these younger guys I don't think have really stepped up yet. And they might be good, but I haven't heard much.
Well, I also don't think radio has done a great job in grooming young people.
It's hard to do, though.
Well, no, it takes time and effort.
Right.
And they don't. And out of any business I know, the laziest people work in radio.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
It's hard work, though.
Not on air, yes, it can be a grind. But overall.
You don't think our show is hard work?
I do.
I mean, listen, it's not
coal mining.
Yeah,
but people that are not on the air, this is not a hard business.
I understand that.
But
if you're not on the air?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
shit,
not a hard business.
Nothing.
It's nothing. And I don't think. I think radio in general, I don't think people work with the young guys on the weekends like they should.
Why do you hate Dale Arnold?
I just always felt, and I don't really know him that well.
I shouldn't say hate.
Yeah,
is hate too strong?
Hate's too strong. It's just it was easy pickings.
Because I like him.
I'm sure you do.
I absolutely do.
To prove myself, it was kind of like a mob gang thing. To prove myself to you and Jerry, I had to take somebody down.
It was Dale.
It's like in a gang, and it's easy to do. And in a gang, you got to go shoot somebody, or in the mob,
you got to go hit Dale.
I picked on Dale.
Well, that wasn't right.
Well, yeah, but it worked.
He's had a great career.
Dale should be doing hockey.
He's better than Jack.
Yes, he's much better.
He's
than Jack.
Much better play-by-play guy. Jack, than
Jack. I mean, Dale Arnold should have been doing Bruins games forever.
Well, you've done a lot of work with Holly.
I have.
You don't get along with him?
I get along great with Holly.
You do?
I do. I like Mike a lot.
So what's your issue with the show then?
I think Dale makes it boring.
I think
he's a better play-by-play guy.
Holly doesn't make it. It's Dale's fault 100%?
Nah, I think you could bring more personality out with Holly.
Well, you have Thornton there.
Well, that Jerry thing. It gets season over his head.
You think so?
But I don't hear him enough to know. I don't really
do
hear him.
Do you listen to the show?
Not really.
You don't listen to the show?
Nah, it's just my gut. Jerry Thornton did have a good line on me. Like, I don't need to take criticism. Bob from Account Temps. I got to go.
That's not a great line.
I thought it was good for him.
That's not a great line.
I have to go.
Why?
I got to get my kid
what
to
time's
the movies. I'm supposed to have him at. I'm supposed to have him at his friend's house now at 11.
Why can't somebody give him a ride there?
Well, I'm going to have to now.
Last thought.
What?
Do you worry, does Comcast worry, if you do our show every day, you're going to say something so stupid that it's going to affect them?
Yeah. I'm sure they do.
So then why would they let you do it?
I don't know. I think that the risk is greater. I think they probably feel that the reward is worth the risk where, and I don't know, maybe Bill Bridgen will say something to the effect of, Gary, you're on your own. If you say something dumb.
Does it bother you that 80% of the people out there think that you're just making shit up and that you're playing a fake character now?
No, it doesn't bother me because I can't please everybody. I can't worry about that. I'm too tired to be fake.
You think so?
It's time. You know how flipping tiring it is? Be something you're not. It's exhausting.
I know I don't.
Yeah, I know you don't.
Luckily, I don't.
Yeah.
I was born
It's exhausting. I mean, it really is, and it's so frustrating, and it just gets, ugh.
You're happy at Comcast?
I am. Good
you
people.
Are?
Great people.
When's your contract up?
Next June.
Why would they? What is their impetus to sign you?
I don't know, dude.
Why would they pay
them.
Some young kid half the money? The
well,
ratings
I mean,
the same.
Not a lot of people can do TV talk.
Yeah, but nobody.
No,
the ratings aren't great anyway.
No, the ratings are pretty good. They're not as great as they were during the Flategate. But cable, it's not a lot about ratings. Arbella's very happy. We love Arbella Insurance.
Sure we do.
They're sponsoring the show for years to come.
They are?
They are.
So why wouldn't they just put Dallin Cuff in there? Save a couple bucks in the way we
They might. I can't. Who knows? They might.
You're
but I don't
able,
think so.
I don't think you'll be able to do both. I think Comcast is going to say no to this. That's my prediction. I think
okay,
you're going to be surprised.
Okay, well, they're up a creek.
Well, then what are you going to do?
I don't know.
You're going to tell us no?
Well, yeah, because I make more money with Comcast.
You're going to stick doing television for 22 minutes every night?
Well,
asking
yeah,
Bob
I mean,
Ryan about yeah. the fucking... 74 Knicks.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they pay me a lot more money than what you're talking.
Down.
You're talking about creatively.
This is the guy who left $120,000 a year to take $30,000 because it was a better creative opportunity.
Yeah, when I was 29 with no kids and a wife.
You slowly die doing television every night. If you thought you had the chance at this prize, you didn't get it. It will drive you fucking crazy.
It will, but
it will drive you crazy. And I will almost derive sexual pleasure putting on the TV at night and watching you slowly die like I do now. Sometimes when I know you have a particularly shitty lineup, if you have a good show and I'm flicking around, I don't watch it. If it's shitty, and you know the ones that are shitty.
I do.
If I put them on and I see you, I see that emptiness in your eyes, I swear to God, I get an erection. The blood rises in my penis and I get a full erection.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you do.
Watching you die on the air.
I cannot take less money.
I have three kids and a wife. No, you didn't fight for me at all at Comcast.
Oh, well, I had no chance.
Yeah, but you could have fucking tried. This is a guy. How loyal have I been to you?
You've been very loyal,
and it was not reciprocated.
No, I didn't. I wasn't going to win.
Don't you feel bad about that?
No, not at all.
You said a year ago we got in that fight that it was my fault about the Hubbock thing, but you know that's not true.
Oh yeah, no, it's not true.
I mean, there are people that the person who said that to me has admitted it's
not
true.
Yeah, no, it's not that. No, it's not true. Look, you know, personally, my own opinion, I would not have suspended you, but it came from corporate. It came from New York City. What am I going to do?
It's been a year now.
You'll be back.
I don't think. I actually swear to you, I thought that was the case about 2 weeks ago. Today, I don't think that's the case.
Early September, I think you're coming. Was it a money thing?
I'm going to say no to that. No. We haven't even got to that part yet.
Okay.
No. But they're going to. They're not. If I say I want more money, they're going to say go fucking screw. They don't care that much.
They might give you more money.
All right. Anything else?
That's it. We good?
That's it. You're done?
I'm done.
That's it. You're totally done.
I gotta go.
All right, fine. Go. All right. Goodbye. All right. Thanks as always for listening to the Enough About Me podcast. If you want more podcasts like this with guests like Artie Lang, who else is gonna have Artie Lang and fucking Bob Ryan on the same podcast, or David Portnoy and John Tomasi? If you want to listen to podcasts like this, you go to iTunes, Stitcher, you go to WEI.com, you go to the mobile app. When you go to iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review, and subscribe. That's going to help us out a lot. If you want more of these, leave a rating, leave a review, and subscribe. Make sure you do that for me. That is a command. Now do it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.